You're listening to a WebYeshiva.org podcast. Visit www.webyeshiva.org to take part in our fully interactive online yeshiva. Visit blog.webyeshiva.org for more free downloadable Torah content.
Hello, this is Ilana Goldstein-Sachs of Web Yeshiva with this week's Midrash of the Week podcast. Today we're going to look at a Midrash from Vayikra Rabbah Kavchet, and it's a Midrash about the Omer. Right, this Midrash is a Midrash which is on this week's Parasha, right, Parashat Emor, which happens to talk about, among many other things, the mitzvah of the Omer. And it's also appropriate, I thought, for now, for this time of year, because we are in the middle of Sfirat HaOmer. Now, when I talk about Omer, the mitzvah of the Omer, I'm talking not so much about the Sfirat HaOmer, but about the Korban, which is brought at the beginning of Sfirat HaOmer, sort of the kickoff to Sfirat HaOmer, the Korban, which of course is brought on the second day of Pesach. The context for this Midrash is a long list of examples which are brought in order to explain why the mitzvah of the Omer is such an important mitzvah, why it shouldn't be belittled, right? Why its significance must be recognized. Now, for those of you who have been following my podcasts in this series, you might recall that we spoke about a Midrash on this topic around Purim time, where we saw a connection between the mitzvah of the Omer and the story of Purim. And actually, the Midrash that we're going to look at today is connected to that Midrash. It's two different parts of this very long Midrash, which I just mentioned. So what we're looking at now is the first example brought by the Midrash, the first reason, so to speak, why the Korban HaOmer is so important. When we spoke Purim time, it was the last example, right? And for those who are interested, you can look at the other examples in the middle, for each one proves interesting in its own right. All of these, I will provide the entire source on the website for those who are interested in looking at the entire thing. The Midrash that we're looking at today says the following. Le'olam al tihi mitzvah ha'omer kala be'inecha. Right? The korban, the mitzvah of the omer, meaning the korban ha'omer, should never be light in your eyes. She'al yedei mitzvah ha'omer zacha Avraham lirash et eretz Kenan. Right? It is because of the mitzvah ha'omer that Avraham merited inheriting the land of Canaan. Hahu dichtiv, right, as it says in Breshit, Perek Yud Zayin, Venatati lecha ulzarcha acharecha, and I will give to you and your descendants after you, al minat va'ata et briti tishmor. Right, why will I give you the land? Because you, Avraham, and your descendants will keep my brit, my covenant. Ve'eze mitzvah ta'omer, right? And what is this covenant that's being referred to? Mitzvah ta'omer, right? That is the claim of the Midrash, right? So let's take a look for a second in Bereshit Perek Yud Zayin, right? There, the context of this pasuk that is quoted by the Midrash in Perek Yud Zayin is the context of the Brit Milah, right? That is the parak where Avraham is commanded first to give the Brit, to perform the Brit Milah on himself and on all the males in his household. The relevant psukim. I'll start from the beginning. Pasuk Dalid. Ani hine v'riti itach v'hayita la'av hamon goyim. You are going to be the father of a great nation, of many nations. V'lo yikare od shimcha Avram v'haya shimcha Avraham ki av hamon goyim netaticha. Right, Hashem changes his name from Avram to Avraham. V'hifreti otcha b'mod mod v'netaticha legoyim u'malachim imcha yitzeu. Right, you will be very fruitful and you will have many nations come from you and kings will come from you. V'hakimoti b'riti b'ni u'v'necha u'v'en zaracha acharecha ledorotam levrit olam. Right, I will fulfill this, I will establish this brit between me and you and between me and your descendants for an everlasting covenant. Liyot lecha l'Elohim ulezarecha acharecha, to be your God and the God of your descendants. V'netati lecha ulezarecha acharecha et eretz migurecha, et kol eretz Kenan achuzat olam. I will give to you and to your descendants Eretz Canaan, right, forever. Vahayiti lahem Elohim, and I will be their God. Vayomer Elohim el Avraham, va'ata et briti tishmor. Ata v'zaracha acharecha ledorotam. Right? And you, Avraham, Hashem says to Avraham, you should keep my covenant. Va'ata et briti tishmor. Right? You and your descendants after you. And then afterwards, after this pasuk, starting with pasuk yud, is the description of the brit milah. Right? Zot briti asher tishmeru. This is the brit that you must keep, and then it describes the brit milah which they must do. Now we can see from these psukim in Perek Yud Zayin of Breshit, right, this idea that if Avraham keeps this brit, v'atad briti tishmor, right, then Hashem will give him eretz migurecha et kol eretz kanan lachuzat olam. Right, from where, however, is this idea that is presented in the Midrash, right, that the brit that is being referred to here, v'atad briti tishmor, right, is korban ha'omer, right? After all, it seems that the pshat of the psukim, right, is that we're talking about here about brit milah, and indeed that is the pshat of the psukim, right? Although it is clear from the pshat as well that brit in this perek has many different meanings, right? It's talking about the general, broader brit between Hashem and Abraham, and that the specific brit of the brit milah, where the brit milah seems to be both a brit in and of itself, a covenant in and of itself, and an ot brit, and a symbol of the brit between Hashem and Avraham. But again, from where is this idea that the brit here, right, that bischut the brit omer, which according to the Midrash is referred to by the word v'atad briti tishmor, Avraham merited inheriting the land. In order to begin to understand this, I think we have to first understand, or at least define, what it is that we're seeing in Perek Yud Zayin. The brit that is being referred to, not the brit milah specifically, but the broader brit that is being referred to in Perek Yud Zayin of Bereshit, is what is often referred to as Birkat Avraham. Right? Birkat Avraham is this this blessing given to Avraham, you know, which is the covenant, eventually, between Avraham and Hashem, which basically has two ingredients in it. Children and land, right? What is this brit that Hashem promises Avraham that he will have many? He will have many descendants. He will have many children, and that those children will inherit Eretz Canaan, right? And that is the brit Avraham, the Birkat Avraham, and that is what is being referred to here in Perek Yud Zayin. Now, it is this promise, this Birkat Avraham, that follows Am Yisrael around, right, for many, many years, when they go down to Egypt and they come back up from Egypt, right? And finally, when they enter the land at the beginning of Sefer Yehoshua, that is when this is finally fulfilled, when the descendants, the many descendants of Avraham, have come back to Eretz Canaan, and they are about to inherit Eretz Canaan, or they do at the beginning, finally in the beginning of Sefer Yehoshua, inherit Eretz Canaan, right? And this occurs in Sefer Yehoshua, Perek He. In Sefer Yehoshua Perek He, the people cross the Yarden. Well, they cross the Yarden actually before Perek He. And then in Perek He, the first thing they do is Brit Milah, right? It's a whole explanation of why not everyone had Brit Milah up until that point, but the entire nation, the males, now have a Brit Milah done. And then in Pasuk Tet, Perek Hei Pasuk Tet, Vayomer Hashem al Yehoshua, Hayom galoti et cherpat Mitzrayim me'alechem, Vayikra Shem emakom ahu Gilgal, ad hayom ezeh. Right? By doing the Brit Milah, Hashem says the cherpa, the embarrassment, the bizayon of Mitzrayim is wiped away from them. Vayachanu v'nei Yisrael ba'Gilgal, vayasu et ha'Pesach ba'arba'a asar yom lachodesh be'erev ba'arvot Yericho. So they do Korban Pesach. Right? And we, of course, know from the Torah that doing a Brit Milah is a prerequisite for doing Korban Pesach, so they do it in the right order. And then in Pasuk Yud Aleph, Vayochlu me'avur ha'aretz mimachorat ha'Pesach matzot v'kaloi be'etzem hayom hazeh. They ate from the food of the land, the produce of the land, mimachorat ha'Pesach, What did they eat? Matzot v'kalui be'etzem hayom hazeh. Right, they ate these matzot v'kalui, right, a parched grain, be'etzem hayom hazeh, in the midst of that very day. Right then, when they right after they did that. Pasuk Yud Bet, Vayishbot haman mimachorat ba'ochla me'avor ha'aretz. When they ate from the produce of the land, the man stopped. V'lo haya od levinei Yisrael man v'yachlu mitfuat Eretz Kanan b'shana hahi. From that moment on, they ate from the produce of Eretz Kanan and no longer ate from the man. For those of you who are listened closely to those words, were perhaps reminded of something from this week's parasha, from Parashat Emor, where the Omer is described, right, the Korban HaOmer. Right, if you look in Vayikra, Perek Kaf Gimel, Pasuk Yud, Daber al bnei Yisrael v'amarta lehem ki tavo el haaretz asher ani noten lachem uksartem et ktsira. When you come to the land, right, and don't forget the symbolism of this. Perek Yoshua, Perek Hay and Perek Yoshua, they have come to the land, right? V'chi tavo el haaretz uktsartem et ktsira. Now, what happens in Perek Hay of Yoshua isn't an actual katsir, because they haven't been there long enough to grow anything, right? But let's call this a symbolic ktsira. Vehevetem et omer reshit ktzirchem el hakohen. Right, that's when you have to bring the korban haomer. Vehenifet haomer lifnei Hashem lirtzorchem mi mochorat haShabbat. Right, the bells go off. Right, you might recall that in Yehoshua Perakei it says that they ate me'avur haaretz mi mochorat. Right, that the day after they had brought the korban Pesach, they ate mitfuat Eretz Kanan, right? And then it says again the words Vayishbot haman mimachorat, that the man stopped the next day b'ochlam. So we have the word mimachorat here. Mimachorat haShabbat yinifenu haKohen. Back in Perek Kaf Gimel Vayikra again. Vayisitem b'yom hanifchem et haOmer keves tamim ben shato leolal Hashem. You bring the korban haOmer, etc., etc. Pasuk Yudalet v'lechem v'kali v'charmel lo tochlu ad etzem hayom hazeh. Right, until you bring the korban haOmer, you cannot eat the lechem, the kali, and the karmel, right? The bread, and the various types of grains, from the new produce, from the new crop, right? Until you've brought the korban haOmer ad etzem hayom hazeh, right? Again, two more bells go off, right? The lechem v'kali v'charmel is very reminiscent of what they ate in Yehoshua Perek Hay. Ve'ochlu me'avur ha'aretz mimacharat ha'pesach matzot v'kalui, right? Matzot v'kalui, as opposed to the v'lechem v'kali v'karmel, right? But it's very similar types of things. And when did they eat it in Yehoshua Perakei? Be'etzem hayom hazeh, right? Which reminds us of that they are with the korban haOmer. You're not allowed to eat this stuff until lo tochlu ad etzem hayom hazeh. Right, so clearly, what we have in Sefer Yehoshua, right? This is something that's mentioned in many, many, many Mefarshim. Is sort of a hint, right? An allusion to the Korban HaOmer. Now, as I said before, they haven't really done a katsir here. It's sort of like a symbolic katsir, a symbolic harvest. And so they don't have any real chiyuv of Korban HaOmer here. They don't have any real obligation to be Korban HaOmer here. So what we have here also is sort of like a symbolic Omer. And the question, of course, is why, right? Why is the Omer so significant that it has to be mentioned right here as they enter Eretz Canaan? But whatever that significance is, this seems to be what the Midrash that we read is referring to when it's saying that Bishchut, the Korban HaOmer, Avraham merited inheriting Eretz Yisrael. That somehow the Korban HaOmer, doing the mitzvah of the Korban HaOmer, is part and parcel of the inheritance of the land, as we see through these allusions in Perek Hay of Sefer Yehoshua. Skipping back to Bereshit Perek Yud Zayin, we see one more interesting tidbit. And that is, at the end of the Perek, after Hashem details everything that Abraham has to do with regard to Brit Milah, it says that Abraham fulfilled this commandment. Vayikach Avraham et Yishmael beno ve'ekol yelidei veito ve'ekol miknat kaspo kol zachar b'anshei beit Avraham. Right, Avraham took all of the males of his household. Vayamal et besar olatam. Right, he gave them a brit milah be'etzem hayom hazeh kasher diberito Elohim. Right, in the midst of that very day. Right, ding 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 ding. Once again, we hear the bells going off, connecting the be'etzem hayom hazeh that we saw in connection with twice already in Sefer Vayikra, Perakaf Gimel, when it talks about Korban HaOmer, and in Sefer Yoshua, when there's the allusions to Korban HaOmer, we see this phrase, Be'etzem Hayom Hazeh. Va'Avraham ben Tishim v'Teisha Shana b'himolo b'sar orlato, v'Yishmael beno ben Shalosh Esrei Shana b'himolo b'sar orlato, Be'etzem Hayom Hazeh nimol Avraham v'Yishmael beno. Right? Again, the words Be'etzem Hayom Hazeh. Now, again, the pshat of those words here means, of course, that Abraham did it immediately, right then and there, after Hashem commanded him to do it, he did it. Right? But for Chazal, right, it's an immediate association is made with this other Be'etzem Hayom Hazeh. Now, of course, Be'etzem Hayom Hazeh shows up in some other fairly significant places. It shows up in Yitziat Mitzrayim, right, which we'll connect this to perhaps in a moment. It also shows up in a connection of Yom Kippur, which may possibly be part of the background of the Machloket as to when Yitzchak was born. According to some, he was born in Tishrei and some in Nisan. Right? Perhaps that's a play off this Ve'etzem Hayom Hazeh. Is it the Ve'etzem Hayom Hazeh of Yom Kippur or the Ve'etzem Hayom Hazeh of Yitziat Mitzrayim and Korban HaOmer? But that's a topic for a different shiur, perhaps. But what seems to be happening here is that you have this Be'etzem Hayom Hazeh, and for Chazal, there's this immediate association to the Be'etzem Hayom Hazeh of the Omer, because they are aware in that way that Chazal are so in tune with the themes throughout Tanakh, that this promise that's happening in Perek Yud Zayin, which appears with these words Be'etzem Hayom Hazeh, is fulfilled in Yehoshua Perek Hei, where Be'etzem Hayom Hazeh appears again with the allusion to Korban HaOmer and the Be'etzem Hayom Hazeh in Vayikra Perek Kaf Gimel. It's interesting that in Sefer Yehoshua, together with the themes of entering the land and the Brit Milah and the Omer, we also have the Korban Pesach. Now, part of this is purely a matter of timing, right? Korban Pesach and Korban HaOmer, by their very definitions, always come near each other, because of where they fall on the calendar. And yet it seems clear that the timing of Korban Pesach, right, such a significant ritual in the history of the nation, right then as they enter the land, must have some meaning. It can't just be coincidental. In an interesting article that I read by Rav Shabtai Sabato, right, he explains an interesting idea that there are three types of brit between Hashem and Am Yisrael. There's the brit milah, which is brit hayachid, right? It's the brit which each and every individual must do on himself, right? The male individuals must do on themselves. There's the brit am, right, which is the covenant of the entire nation, which is fulfilled through the Korban Pesach. And there are, of course, many comparisons, many similarities between Brit Milah and Korban Pesach. Again, perhaps a subject for a different shiur at a different time. But there are many, many similarities between those two. So sort of what the Brit Milah is for the individual, the Korban Pesach is for the entire nation. And then he says there's another one, there's Brit Ha'aretz, and that, he claims, is the Korban HaOmer. That the Korban HaOmer was something which had to be done upon entering the land as a way of, he describes it as getting rid of the orla, the foreskin, in quotation marks, of the produce of the land. This this isn't exactly his wording, but how I would explain that is that once they enter the land, they have to make sure that they are going to live in the land in a way that is fitting for Am Yisrael. They can't live there like somebody who is not part of this Brit. They have to live there like a nation that is part of this Brit, right? And of course, that's what Korban HaOmer does. It's a reminder of how they must live in the land, the reminder that everything comes from Hashem, right? And this, of course, was a necessary reminder against, as Sefer Dvarim says repeatedly, the mindset of Kochi v'otzim yediyas aliyat etachaylezeh. So from the very, you know, that they did everything and that nothing was from Hashem. So from the very moment that they enter the land, they must do this, what he calls this brit aretz, to make sure that the mindset is appropriate for Am Yisrael living in Eretz Yisrael. And he explains these three britot must happen in a certain order. First, you must have the brit hayachid, right? First, you have the brit milah, and then you have the brit am of the korban pesach, and then you have the brit haaretz. And this, of course, is the order that we see it in Sefer Yehoshua and Parakeh, as we read earlier, right? That upon entering the land, they first do the brit milah, and then they do the korban pesach, and then there's this symbolic korban haomer, right? So, seen in this context, one can comprehend the significance of the korban haomer. This is the significance that the Midrash in Vayikra Rabbah is trying to explain to us, and we see the significance as it appears in Yehoshua Parakeh symbolically, and how it was midrashically inserted into Bereshit Perek Yud Zayin.